Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night Tshuva Chabura at Young Israel of Lawrence Cedarhurst. Even though this is not my shteller, I'm still happy to visit. And we all kol Yisrael chaver, and we get along wonderfully one with another. So I'd like to speak about a tshuva from a sefer by the name of Shevet Miyehuda. I doubt any of you have ever seen the sefer Shevet Miyehuda. I do not own one. The excerpts that you see, I downloaded from Otzar HaChachma program, but somebody in my shul, Rabbi Dr. Josh Bernstein, heard that I was giving a shir on this. He said, "Oh, do you have the Shevet Miyehuda?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "I do." I said, "Oh, so I'd like to borrow it for tonight." So this is it. The Shevet Miyehuda was written by Chief Rabbi Unterman. Unterman was just a word of his biography. He was born in 1886, and he passed away 90 years later in 1976. And he was the Rav Harashi for about 12 years towards the end of his life, until he was about 85 years old. He actually learned in Volozhin. He was known when he was young as the Brisker Ely. They don't say that about everybody, you know what I'm saying? He was known as the Ely from Brisk. So he was a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkup, learned in Volozhin. He opened up a yeshiva not far from Radin, and apparently the biography has it that the Chavetz Chaim sent his nephew to learn from Rav Unterman, which itself is, I guess, a pretty good...
When was he born? What year?
1886.
Okay, so he must have been very, very young to learn Volozhin. Yeah. Volozhin right?
When did it close?
1898.
That's possible.
I think it was like a Volozhin after.
It could be. I don't know. That's what it said in the biography. Yeah. Interesting to know is that I saw that he actually had some voice problems, and after giving he was a Magid Shir in his yeshiva that he opened up not far from Radin in. Not, it sounds like Kishinev, but it's not Kishinev. Some small town that sounds in Poland, something that sounded similar to Kishinev, something Ishinev. And apparently he gave shir every day, and he developed a laryngitis, a voice problem. So he stopped giving shir. He decided to go into the rabbinate. It's as close as you can get to being a Rosh Hashiva, but not having to give shir every day. So he became a Rav, and as luck would have it, he actually got a position at some point. I don't remember at which point in relation to the war. I think before the war, as the Rav of Liverpool. He was the Rav of Liverpool for 22 years. So you had a Polish kid from Brisk and Volozhin who didn't speak any English becoming the Rav in Liverpool. If I could just ask the people on Zoom to just mute, if you don't mind. Thank you. And he learned English very quickly, apparently. Obviously, if you're the Brisker Eloy, then you could pick up English also. And then after he, was in Liverpool for many years, he came to Eretz Yisrael and, of course, at some point became the chief rabbi of... If I could just ask those on Zoom to mute yourselves. Or you can mute the... Turn off the sound on this. You can mute them, yeah. If this is...
Just tell them
it. They don't mute. Okay. Great. 1 second. Okay, so he served, when he came to Eretz Israel, he found a number of kollelim, and then he became the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv for about 20 years, and then he became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. And a fascinating shayla came to his desk, as one would expect a fascinating shayla to come to the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. And the shayla is, can you do transplants? But the specific aspect of transplant that we're going to speak of, and you'll see why it's going to be different in numerous respects, is corneal transplants. Well, the reason why a cornea is different than other transplants is, number one, there's no pikuach nefesh heter. We'll talk about what the problems are, the potential problems are, but whatever the potential problems are, pikuach nefesh will not be a heter, because if somebody can't see, so they can't see. They're not in mortal danger. That's number one. Number two, we're going to see a number of other leniencies that might apply only to a cornea and not to any other limbs, not to kidneys, and not to other areas of... good to see you all. Welcome, welcome. And not to other body parts, but nevertheless, corneas have a certain kula, which we'll see right now. So first we have to understand what is the shayla before we figure out what his tshuva is to that shayla. So the shayla of transplants in general, and specifically we're going to talk about corneal transplants, you can look at the source sheet on the first page. By the way, this week's discussion fits perfectly with this week's parasha on two accounts. Number one, because we have a discussion of somebody being blind in the parasha. Parasha's Vayechi, Ve'nei Yisrael kovdu mizoken, lo yichal leros. So we already see that there's a correlation. We have a blindness. We have a little bit later. We're going to talk about the mitzvah of kavura, which is learned from this week's parasha. So let's see what the issues are. Number one, nidonim on my sheet. Aleph, there's a mitzvah of kavura. That's an assay. The others will be negative. There will be los assays or isurim. The first one's a chiyuv. Is there a chiyuv? Somebody dies and he leaves over a body, as most people do when they die. On his body is a cornea. So is there a chiyuv of kavura on the body? Of course there is. How could you not be kover something? That's what we'll talk about. That's going to be a heta that uniquely applies to cornea. That, for example, wouldn't apply to a heart. That wouldn't apply to a liver. That wouldn't apply to a kidney. But to a cornea, it does apply. It's less than a kazayas. Yes, we're going to see that svara in source number 6. That's a tosis. The other issue that we're going to discuss, which will not have the leniency that you just suggested, is two other issues. We'll talk of one more at length and one less at length, and that is nivul hames. Nivul hames, you're not allowed to disgrace the mace. It's not a covet to the mace. It's the opposite of covet. It's a disgusting thing to. I was once at an Achiezer round table for Rabbanim and the medical examiner of New York City, I believe. Rabbi Baruch Berbender got the medical examiner of New York City, maybe New York City and Nassau County. He's a very high level person. Come to sit down with the Rabbanim in the local Rabbanim, and also present was the head of Misaskim. And the head of Misaskim, I don't remember his name, but a very competent gentleman, a Hasidic fellow, and he was talking to the chief medical examiner of New York City, which is, again, a very prestigious physician, very prestigious position, and whose job is to do autopsies. And here you have the head of Misaskim, whose job it is to minimize autopsies. And it was fascinating to see, you know, in the course of a conversation, talking, instead of using the word autopsy, the word that was used was slice and dice. So you can understand that, yes, autopsies could be perceived as slicing and dice, and there's a little bit of nivul hames, just even from the language that that was used at that meeting, which is fascinating. So, okay, so we have nivul hames, and then we have letter gimel, isser hana from a mace. And isser hana, which we'll see, could be a din d'oraisa. So if we are to take an organ from a mace and transplant it onto a human being, again, for pikuach nefesh trumps all. But it's not pikuach nefesh. So where will we have a heter for restoring the eyesight of the patient, the recipient? Will that be a reason to be matir, not fulfilling the mitzvah of kura, B, being menavel a mace, and C, deriving hana, being nana from the mace? So I'm going to skip the first few sources, but look at Tosus in source number 6. This is a Tosus in Shabbos. Tosus in Shabbos. Let's start with the Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos says the following. The Mishnah in Shabbos says that in order to violate the Issa d'Oraisa of Hotza'ah, right, carrying without an Erev, you have to carry something that has a Shir of Chashivas. How big or how much is a Shir of Chashivas? The Mishnah says that it depends on every single item, what is considered Chashiv in that type of item. For example, when it comes to herbs, the smallest medicinal dosage would be considered a chashiv ashir. When it comes to ochel, I believe, I don't remember if it's kazayas or kabetza, I don't remember, the Mishnah says beforeish numerous times actually. Everything depends on the chashivas. Somebody's 1 second.
I think more participants joined.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Okay, just wanted to mute the participants. Thank you. So the Mishnah says that you have to have a chashiv ashir. What's a chashiv ashir? So let's see what the Mishnah says in source number 5. If you take a kikar, it's a kezias, how much of a mace? It is considered a chashiv for which you'd be violating hotzah, a kezias min ha-meis, min ha-nevela, kadash min ha-sheretz, etc. Says Tosis, why would there be a shear? Why are these sizes significant? So at the end of Tosis, not really Tosis' point, but Tosis concludes, B'meis nami efshe shal pachas mi kezayis eno mitzuv lekavra. If you have a kezayis of mace, what's the chashivus of a kezayis of mace? What can you do with a kezayis of mace? A piece of flesh? It's not the Merchant of Venice. What can you do with a kezayis of mace? I don't know. But the fact that you have a chiv to be kovera kezayis of mace, that itself is the chashivus to that quantity, to that shear. So therefore, Tosus says, sort of by the way, you see that there might, according to this Tosus at least, might only be a chiv kvura for a mace. That's what Mr. Malik said earlier, that there might only be a chiv kvura for a kezai. So therefore, if we talk about any other limb for transplant, like kidneys, livers, hearts, etc., again, forgetting about pikuach nefesh, which would be maturi surim, but in terms of the chiv kvura, a cornea, which doesn't have the heter pikuach nefesh, might still have the kula of pachos mi kezai, so we solve that problem. So now, we solve the problem of the chiv kvura, now we just have the isra hana and nivel hames to speak about. So let's jump straight into the tshuva, because there's a lot of geshmak on this. When I heard that autopsy will be a topic for next week, I'm sure it's going to be related to that Noda Bihuda that I have in source number 7. So we're not going to talk about that at all. Let's look at the tshuva together. I don't know if the minhag in this chabur is to read through the tshuva, is not to read through the tshuva. We'll read through this tshuva because it happens to be written in a very user-friendly way, probably because the author was a rav in Liverpool for 22 years. So he probably has a way of just speaking very articulately and clearly, and no offense, but in a way that even people who are not great Talmidei Chachamim could readily read this smoothly, a lot easier than many, many, many other tshuvas. So let's look in source number 8. If you have if you're on Zoom and you have the full text of the tshuva, it's on the first page of the sources, which is Shin Yud Gimel. Turn to the second page of the tshuva, Shin Yud Dalet, the top of the opening of the first new paragraph on page Shin Yud Dalet. That's the second page of the tshuva. If you have my sheets, then it's just source number 8. Chashavti, I have an idea that maybe you could put out a certain kula. And you're going to see, it's going to sound funny at first, and we'll see if it works or not works. It doesn't work. But chashavti, ula yesh makom lomar, ki ha'ivaron, maybe blindness, husakonas nefesh. Maybe we could argue that just like a heart transplant and a kidney transplant and a liver transplant could all be life-saving transplants, maybe we could argue that a cornea transplant could also be a life-saving. How so?
Prevent falls.
Right, it could prevent falls. Exactly.
What if you only need it for one eye?
That's what he's going to say in a minute. That will not solve the problem for a single eye corneal transplant. It'll only be for a dual corneal transplant. Yeah, he's going to say that in 5 lines. This is the next paragraph. Let's see it inside. So, in the second line of this paragraph. Because of blindness, adam alul, a person is wont, lipo l'to chabor, l'tis take b'dech, you're going to become endangered. If you notice, right near my shul, on the corner of 878 and Central Avenue, our lights, the streetwalk, has a little beep, 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 beep. For those of you who know, that's to inform blind people. I don't know how they know which way the beep is going, whether it's straight or perpendicularly. That I don't know. I should ask my wife, because this is what she does for a living. She helps blind people learn how to walk and how to travel. But I never did. And now I'll have something to talk to her about. if you can't see and you're crossing a street, it's not always so healthy. V'domel is that now he's going to bring a gevald geraya. You're going to say, come on, you're telling me that it's pikuach nefesh because you can't travel? I know a lot of people who didn't go away for Pesach and they're still walking, talking, breathing, they're doing just fine. So because you can't travel, you're going to be mistaken b'derech, stay home and watch television all day. Why do you have to walk around? So let's see. Oh, fine. There you go. So you have to go to Florida. But, so look what he says. He quotes the Gevald Geraya from Hagos Maimonis. Look at after the paragraph.
Even if you have eyesight.
Oh. So look at the end of the third line, after the parentheses. Mutter, he quotes the Hagos Maimonis Paskins. Mutter lahachil sheretz tamei l'chola nichpe midim pikuach nefesh. What is chola nichpe? What disease is he referring to? What's a nechpe? Shimon, what's a nechpe? Nechpe is somebody who has It's important because that's going to be the raya because of this specific illness or diagnosis. Only because of this diagnosis will you understand the raya. Epilepsy. Do you know that there are rules about driving if a person has epilepsy? What's the reason? Why could somebody who has epilepsy not drive? Yeah. So just for fun, I Googled right before this shiur. Do you know that there's a difference between New York and New Jersey about the laws of somebody with epilepsy driving? In New York, a person has to be seizure-free for a year before they are allowed to drive after if they have epilepsy. In New Jersey, only 6 months. In New York, doctors are not mandated to report epileptic patients to the state, to the DMV. In New Jersey, Rabosai, doctors are required to report epilepsy to the DMV. Is that frightening? Big Brother's watching. So either way, what's the assault? The assault is... Yeah. Says the Hagos Maimonides. Let's say there's a Sheretz Tamei. Mamash Nisa Doraisa. Says the Hagos Maimonides, you're allowed to feed a Sheretz Tamei to a Chol Nechpeh. Why? Is that going to heal them from their epilepsy? Look what he says. Let me rephrase that. It will heal them from their epilepsy, but is epilepsy in and of itself a mortal disease? In and of itself, it's not. Unless they bang their head, against the, floor while they're having a seizure, God forbid. But look what he says. Afal pisha be'etzem ha-machala hazos ein sakona l'chiyuso. Aval yesh sakona be'akifin. What's akifin? Indirect, in a corollary way. Ki b'shashi kabal hatkafa, a seizure, an attack. Yipoleish olamayim. So you see an incredible spur from Hagos Maimonides. So Hagos Maimonides is saying that even though we're not going to cure, even though a disease is not deadly, you could still eat something that's treif. Why? Because it will prevent you from somebody who has this disease and will be cured thereby from this treif food. Won't fall into a fire. Won't get injured while they're wherever they are, wherever they happen to be, in the kitchen or in the kitchen you're near. So we have the same. So now this is a gevaldik. Now we have a good raya. Now you could argue that even though a corneal transplant is not pikuach nefesh in any which way, blindness is not a life threatening disease, chas v'shalom. But what do you see? That was a pun, right? But what do you hear? Hold on, let me finish this one point. But you see from the Hagos Maimonides that there is room to say that somebody could get injured through the travails of life, the episodes of life, including walking and crossing streets, that, at least according to the Hagos Maimonides, can rise to be considered pikuach nefesh. Fabulous chiddush, yeah.
Just saying, at that moment, when it's happening, it could be, potentially be...
But right now, is it a pikuach nefesh?
Yeah, generally, you can live with it, but if it's happening at the moment, then you're at the edge of a pit.
Yeah, that's the Svara of Hagos Maimonides. Yeah, that's the Svara. But that's the Chiddush. You're right. That is what he's saying.
Is it a different set of considerations than like Sakhama Saver by Shabbos? Like,
entirely, yes. First of all, he's being Matir Shetz, which is Deraisa. Sakhama Saver is not Matir in Issa Deraisa.
But I'm saying, in other words, let's say you had a Sakhana to your eyes, right? Sakhama Saver, you had an eye, like...
Right. So we're going I don't want to get into the specific eye issue, but let's say there would be a sakana to a limb. You're not allowed to violate an issa d'oraisa. So if we assume that hanam and hames is an issa d'oraisa, which was the source that I skipped, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think, quotes Gzeres Shava from Egla Rufa. So Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Zayin says there was a Gzeres Shava that teaches us that there's an issa hanam and hames. It's an issa d'oraisa. So sakana zeved does not matter that.
So I'm saying, if you have whatever reasoning he's giving here, you're saying that, because if you don't have your eyesight, you can, so if you have a potential danger to your eyesight, on Shabbos we'll say, okay, go blind.
Svara, you're saying a good point. You're saying this Svara, if we apply it to the Shabbos, he's not talking about, I didn't mention the word Shabbos today.
I know.
But according to what you're saying this Svara that he's putting forth to suggest the possibility that Ivaron and that saving somebody from blindness might have a din of pikuach nefesh could even allow chilul Shabbos d'oraisa.
Right.
Yeah, that would be a chiddush lahalacha. I don't know if he's going to accept this though.
I'm not. I think I. the hanacha, the point that we're taking as a double question that epilepsy itself is not a potentially fatal illness is just, I mean.
You're right. I'm not a neurologist.
So I'm saying.
You're right. Are you?
I am actually.
Oh, that wasn't fair. That was not fair.
That's one thing I know. No, I think it's interesting. Like he says, oh, just if you fall into. No, I mean epilepsy can be fatal.
Yes.
So yeah, that it's certainly more fatal than the potentiality.
So assuming that Ghost Maimonides was a neurologist like you are.
Right.
So assuming that the Ghost Maimonides knew that it is a fatal disease. Do you think he did? I'm asking.
I don't know. They understood as much.
Clearly not. Yeah. Obviously not.
You see a guy shaking uncontrollably. I don't know. You don't know if it's not a fatal.
No, but you know that what happens after it. 3 minutes later, he comes into, walks into Shir and starts davening Shemona and stands up Shemona Esrei.
Some percentage of people die.
At there, okay. So I don't know what. Right.
You see
clearly. Okay, I hear. I don't know the numbers. You do.
So I'm saying most seizures stop, but certainly I would not say it's a. I would say it's certainly a mira matzke that seizures can untreated seizures a medical emergency.
So it's fair to assume. No, of course we treat it as an emergency, but even without the potential, what you're saying that the seizure itself could be life threatening. Now we also you could bang into something during a seizure.
On top of that, yes.
That's how I guess the difference. I hear.
To seizures, saying, oh, seizures, and we allow.
So it's not even the sushil. You don't like that Ghost Maimony. You're saying that Ghost Maimony, who's assuming that it's not a Pikuach Nevesh Bifnei Atzmo, you're saying that now modern medicine questions that. Good.
And
good.
Sushil,
notice that nobody else asked this question besides you.
Fair. Okay.
So
how do we know that Ghost Maimony is saying it's because you may fall?
I didn't see that Ghost Maimony inside. I can't tell you. Let's move on. Let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on.
That's how he
characterized. Yeah, right. The next line, the last line of this paragraph, he says, you know, but you could make the chiluk that Asuma knows that he's Asuma.
Right.
So if you know that you're Asuma, be careful where you go or don't go places. A person who's epileptic, who has epilepsy, I should say, is normal 99.9% of the time. And then all of a sudden, without any, you know, again, you'll correct me, but without warning or without any meaningful warning, they all of a sudden find themselves in a seizure, and that's signs that they could be shomer themselves from. So therefore, still he says, maybe you can't have this tsushtel because maybe we would be makel for an epileptic individual because he can't control where he'll be at a given point as opposed to a suma. He's always a suma. So if you're always a suma, don't cross streets. Don't, you know, walk in front of places where buses pass by. Don't walk over the track, over the LIRR on your way to get, you know, on the other side of town if you don't have someone walking with you over the tracks, if you're blind. Okay, that's one svara, but of course this won't help if it's for a single, this will only, the whole concept of ivaron, of blindness, is going to be a kula if it's for both corneas, but it's not going to be a heter for a single corneal transplant where you don't have this, but you realize it's a stretch. It's not really, we're not going to work with this svara so much to say it's a pikuach nefesh, but it's like a nice way to start your tshuva, which is exactly what we just did. We just started the tshuva to say, maybe it's a chshash pikuach nefesh, but okay, let's leave that for now. Let's now look at a very geshmak alumdus in source number 9, which is, those of you who have the sheets of the tshuva, on the bottom of this very same page, the second to last paragraph on the page, Yesod HaHeter. Let's talk about the following. When you have Let's talk about the Isra Hana. That's going to be the main discussion of tonight's shiur. Isra Hana from a mace. So you have an Isra Hana, and you want to be Nana, and use this cornea from the mace to give vision to somebody who needs it. Let me ask you the following. We know from, Yanki might have heard this tonight, but we know there are two stories in Tanakh that talk about people becoming resuscitated. Or maybe having tchiyas hamesim. We have the story with Eliyahu and the Isha HaTzarfatis. We have the story of Elisha and the Isha HaShunamis. So let me ask you a question. You have a little boy, the son of the Tzarfatis or the Shunamis, and the kid dies. The question among the Rishonim, if he actually died or if he just fainted and had a heart attack, whatever it might be. He died, let's say, like those opinions who say he died. And comes Eliyahu HaNavi, and is Mechaya this child. When he died, he was Asur B'Hana, right? Ames is Asur B'Hana, isn't he? The question is, now that he became alive again, is he Asur B'Hana? Could you buy a bottle of soda from him? Could you do business with him? Could he give you a lift to the late Maariv?
I don't understand the happening. I mean, he's not
Let's
a mace anymore.
Okay, so you're saying he's not a mace anymore. So what do you understand? How are you understanding the Isser Hana?
Isser Hana is
right, so let's speak this out, because that's exactly what Rav Untum is going to say.
Right.
Is the lumdus of the Isser Hana at Misa that the experience of Misa creates an Isser Hana on the guf? But if that's the case, these individuals experienced a Misa, and there's an Isser Hana, where'd it go? I don't know your name. Remind me again.
David's over.
David is saying that no, the lumdus of Isser Hana is not that when a person dies that creates an Isser Hana, but rather, how do you want to say it? Rather,
a goof of
who said, I heard something.
While they're dead.
While they're dead, they're Asr Bahana. But once they're alive, they're Mutar Bahana. That makes sense, right? If that makes sense, says Rav Untum in a really geshmak alumdus. Let's talk about this cornea. Guy's dead. What's the status of his cornea? Asr Bahana. He's dead. The cornea's dead. It's Asr Bahana. What do we do with it? You put it, you attach it to the recipient. You sew it on. You tie it on. You tie it. But whatever, however they, whatever they do, they attach it to the recipient. Now it is. It's alive. It has tchias hamesim. It should be no different than the ben hashunamis, ben hatzurfatis, who experienced tchias hamesim, and now it's no longer asur bahana. Why? Because we're not saying the fact that it died made it asur bahana. We're saying the fact that it stays dead. It's the matzav of being dead that asur zit bahana. But now that it's attached, it's not dead anymore. It's part of a human living organism. It's looking, it's seeing the world, it's looking into a sitter, it's looking at a beautiful sunset, it's seeing his wife and his kids. It's alive. So, Mamela, the Isser Hana is Paka. Yeah, what don't you like?
It's still dead.
What?
What I'm saying is it's different.
Okay, I'll add a line. What's the system, the blood system? Vascular. There's a vascular infrastructure that it connects to the rest of the person's circulatory system. I'm not an ophthalmologist, I'm not a neurologist, nor am I an ophthalmologist. I think when I gave this shiur originally in shul, I think I might have had an ophthalmologist on hand. But I think they saw the topic, so they came. There might be, at least in this tshuva, he suggests that there is a vascular system that connects to the circulatory system of the recipient. So it does become incorporated. You're saying it's just dead thing that you're plastering on the top of the guy.
The question is, do you look at each part of the dead person as a separate part, or as one part?
You cut it off a dead body, it's dead. Once you put it on, and it becomes incorporated in this...
Do you look at, in effect, was this part of a dead thing, or is each part a different part?
What's the difference? Let's play devil's advocate. Which is the worst one?
If you view it all as one, then I would say you took it from a dead person.
You're right. You took it from a dead person.
Right.
But now it's no longer dead. That's the chiddush that he's saying. I would have thought like you. I would have thought it comes from a dead person. It should be asur b'hana. He's saying that's not the lumdus of the isur hana of a mace. It's not that it comes from somebody dead. It experienced death. But rather, it is right now in a matzav of dead. And therefore, once you transplant it onto a living person and it becomes alive again... It's no longer going to have that Isser Hana, because it's no longer part of being that which is dead.
Feed that, that means whatever you would move from a dead person to a live person...
Becomes alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
The other question is, was that tissue as a cornea really ever alive?
Good. Again, I don't know if you're an ophthalmologist or not, but whatever. That is a good point.
Yeah.
What is it like, your skin and your nails?
It's like a fingernail.
Right. Is it like that, or is it more than that? Again, beyond my pay grade. Don't know the answer. I don't know if it makes a difference, because I don't think you're allowed to get hana from the nails of it, or the hair of a dead person. I think that's mefurish in... Isn't that mefurish? Now that it's in Seir, right? I think even Seir is Esther. I believe it's Esther, even Seir. Actually, yeah, but it's more complicated, as we'll see soon. Okay, you'll see... We're going to relate to something that you said in just a moment. Okay. That's another svara, a very geshmaka svara that he puts forth to understand what his idea of the Isser Hana is. Let's turn the page. Those of you who have the original sheets, let's turn to the top of Shin Tes Vav, the next page, which, if you have the sources, is source number 10. Next question I'm going to ask you. Let's say you have somebody, I don't want to get into the brain death issue. Let's say there was a hospital that harvested a heart or a lungs. How they harvested it, did they have to kill somebody for it? Did they not have to kill somebody for it? That doesn't interest me. The recipient got this limb. However he got it, I'm not getting into how he got it, if he was allowed to get it. That's not this issue, I couldn't care less. There's a recipient who walks into a room with a donated heart, kidney, liver that came from a dead body. Okay? Your name is Mr. Cohn. Are you allowed to be in the same room as he is?
After the
recipient received the transplant and is living with a dead man's heart.
It's not dead, like you're saying before. Right.
Okay. No one would ever say in a million years that this person is gonna give off Tumas Ohel, right?
He's alive.
He's alive, and presumably his heart is now alive, even though the heart came from...
What about before the transplant or after the transplant?
After the transplant. It's now been transplanted.
Before the transplant?
What do you want to say, Shimon? Before the transplant, go ahead. Agreed, 100%. I agree.
Right.
And now we transplanted it, and he's sitting next to you.
See,
at the wedding.
I would say,
do you, as Mr. Cohn, have to leave the wedding hall?
No.
There's a kazayis of mace.
Because once it's re-implanted.
Yeah. That's the chiddush that Rav Utzman is putting forward. That's what you just said.
He's asking why before it's transplanted.
After it's transplanted. So what do you see? You see in the same way that when it comes to, again, a different halacha, not Isra Hanah, which is one sugya, but from the halachas of Tumas Mace, Tumas Ohel, we would all agree unquestionably that once there's a transplant, it becomes part of the recipient. That, even though it's from a dead body, now it's part of the recipient. No one would say there's a dead piece of flesh in the room and the kohen has to leave, right? Normally, kazayis min hames is matami ba'ohel. But we wouldn't say that once it's transplanted. So you see, we're now borrowing a halacha. Just like by tumas mace, it's obvious to everybody in this room, and on Zoom, I hope. It's obvious to everybody that once it's transplanted into the recipient, it's no longer considered a kizayis shel hameis, it's considered part of a chai. We're going to extend that. So too, not only by tumas meis, but so too for the isra hana from a meis, also it's not going to be considered a meis.
Yeah. The problem with this, so there's the famous question of Tosfos of how Eliyahu was able to be the chai of the isha tzarpatis when he was right. Kain, right? If Eliyahu was Pilgas,
right.
How was he? So the answer is no, it was I think it's Tosfos says, he was bari to him that he was going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So the presumption is, what's the underlying logic of that Tosfos? That if something is going to come back alive and we know it's going to, then we don't assume it's dead at all, even while it's dead.
I don't think you could say that when the donor
when the guy
dies,
comes in with the bag, let's say the guy stops off at a wedding, right? And you're emotional. The guy comes in, he's got the bag, he's got the donor bag with the heart in it. It's not beating, it's dead, but he's about to implant it in a guy. Is that heart at that time that's going to be implanted in a guy that's going to be alive?
I would say Tosis would agree.
Is that Tommy Mace?
Yeah, first of all, Tosis, I don't know.
That's what I'm... Well,
first of all, I can't. I don't know if we hold like Tosis. Tosis is a Chiddush Atzim that I don't understand. I gave Shira about it two, three days ago. I don't understand Tosis. I don't know if everybody holds like Tosis. But given, I still think that Elio Hanavi... Hanavi is Nevua, is better than a guy with a donor bag.
So I would say that if the guy is not, it's made to be alive, then it's not dead.
Otherwise it won't work.
In any situation, medically or by another. If it's claimed to be alive, we can't consider it dead.
Do you remember our emotion like that?
Don't say it came back to life.
I hear what you want to say. It's hard to be
recovered.
I know, I hear you're saying, for those on Zoom, the doctor is suggesting that if something's omed to be transplanted, then maybe even before it's transplanted, it should be considered alive, and it should be able to not be metame. I think that's a chiddush. I don't know if I would agree to you, but I hear your
spot. But I think I would say, the heart is dead, it's not working.
No, that was a good spot.
So he's saying, as far as he said, if you know for sure, benevua, let's say Eliyahu Hanavi is carrying the donor bag, right? Let's say Eliyahu Hanavi is carrying the donor bag, then maybe it's, you know that for certain, it's going to be alive. Okay, let's move on to the next spot. This is a spot that Mr. in green, I forgot your name?
Ira.
Ira. Put forth that maybe the cornea is different than other parts of the body. If you look at number 11 on your sheets, or those of you who are on Zoom, on the bottom of page Shin Yud Ches, here we have to know a little bit about where the Isser Hana comes from. The Isser Hana Min Hameis comes from in the first place. So I didn't want to go through the sources because I wanted to get straight to the tshuva, but now I'll tell you one very quick Gemara in Sanhedrin. I believe this is Sanhedrin that I referenced earlier. Gemara says like this. How do you know you're not allowed to get Hana Min Hameis? Because we know that you're not allowed to get Hana from Kachim. And we learn that just like you can't get Hana from Kachim, you can't get Hana from Egla Arufa, some Gzera Shavar is something from Kachim to Egla Arufa. As another Gzera Shavar from Egla Arufa to a mace. So therefore, a mace also you can't get Hana from. Let me repeat that. A mace's Isra Hana is learned out from Egla Arufa. And the Isra Hana of an Egla Arufa is learned out from Kachim. So that means everything has to ultimately boil down to the Isra of Kachim, which is extending to Egla Arufa, and then to Isra Hana from a mace, which is what we're dealing with this evening. Suggestive Unterman, in this bottom point, he says, maybe when it comes to Kachim, the Or is Mutter B'Hana'ah. If I remember correctly, Moshe, you could correct me if I'm wrong, in Kachim it says that the Or of the animals was given as a gift to the Kohanim who were on shift, that Mishmar, right? It's not also Bahana. It's no Me'ilah, whatever. I don't know about Me'ilah, but there's no, it's Mutter Bahana. So if that's the case, let's just draw the ladder again. If Or is Mutter Bahana when it comes to Kachim, so too by Egla Arufa. And therefore, if it's true by Egla Arufa, so too by the Isser Hana'a Min Hameis, or will not be included in that Isser Hana. So then we just have to posit and suggest that indeed a cornea would be considered R. Is that yes? Is that no? That relates to what you said earlier. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm not an ophthalmologist. I don't know enough about the vascular structure of a cornea.
Or of a human. Would we say that in your lab?
We are making the tzushtel, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says we're learning the Isra Hana from the body of a carbon to the body of a may of a human. So why not say the same exclusion of the or from the body of the animal?
Like this, you should be able to say that for.
You could have a skin graft from a dead person. This far per se, right? This specific svar would apply to a skin graft also from a dead person. Correct.
Okay, but I'm saying that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Source number four. Source number four, yeah. Rava Gamar Sham Shami Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, oh no. Sham Shami Aglarufa, my Aglarufa, I think, I believe, I might be getting confused. You'll have to look at this truth more carefully. I'm doing it very quickly outside because I want to finish up. But something along those lines. Let's finish up with one more svara, maybe. Let's see if we have time for one more svara. And this is a fascinating svara. You could take it or leave it. If you turn to page Shin Chaf on the bottom. Shin Chaf on the bottom. Until now we were talking about Isser Hana. Now let's talk about remember, we started with three issues. One was the mitzvah of Kvura. We said maybe if it's less than Kazayas, it doesn't have a mitzvah of Kvura. Okay, we took care of that. Now we just gave a number of reasons to weasel out of the Isser Hana. And now let's finish off with a different issue, which is the issue of Nivul HaMeis. Are you allowed to, again, slice and dice, as was mentioned at that meeting. So Rav Unterman puts forth a very interesting svara. He says the following. Number one, what's nivul? Nivul is an inyan of kavod. Isser Hana is like exer hakavod. Also, banah, there's nothing to talk about. Consent is meaningless when it comes to Isser Hana. However, when you talk about nivul, what's nivul? Disgrace. Nivul is a lack of kavod, the antithesis of kavod. Disrespect. Maybe consent could have a role here. And just so you know, when you sign those consent forms, you have the options to not donate anything except your cornea. So that is an option. There is definitely a possibility of, even if you don't want to donate other things because of halakhic potential halachic issues, which again is a different sugya, not for tonight. But corneas might very well be something that you could consent for. So therefore, let's look through this source number 12. Let's read it quickly. Benogel isu nivul vade shekashulim soheter. For you, it has its own chumras. Ela hechi shechatchu b'lav hachi. Let's say it was they had to do an autopsy and remove the cornea for whatever reason, which is pretty weird. So it's already off. Now you don't have an iser. There's no iser nivul because it was done already. There might still be an iser hana, but the iser nivul was taken care of. Oh, look what he says in the third line of this paragraph. B'makom shehibia daito, he expressed, he articulated b'chayev ki hu marsha, he authorized l'hishtamich bo l'tzarech refuah. The guy signed a cornea donation card. And some achronim suggest that since the iser nivul is that it's disgraceful, for this guy apparently it wasn't disgraceful. Now, and more than this, maybe a fascinating svad is going to say, what's the disgrace of nivul hames? Is it the maisa of slicing and dicing? Or is it the fact that now this body, which should look, again, we don't dress our bodies before we don't put a tie and inject, lipstick into them like other people do. But it should be preserved. What do we do with every mace? Last week's parasha. V'yosef yashis yadov al einecha. They close the eyes. Well, if you took off the cornea and then you close the eyes, does the mace look any different? That's a baal bat shesvar, isn't it? It's not so lamdash. Says Rav Untuman, maybe that's another svara to be made of. Vinidnali, ki benogel krum ha'ayin, she'ein ze nikr mi bachutz, ki nital ha'krum, sherei ha'ayin, tomit segura. Maybe there won't be a din of nivul ha'meis. So it comes out, we just spent the evening together working through a number of svaras to get rid of the iser, the chiv kvura, to get rid of the iser hanam and ha'meis, to get rid of maybe even the iser of nivul ha'meis. And it sounds from the flow of this tshuva, he doesn't come out at the last line saying, therefore it's mutter. But it sounds like he spent the whole tshuva being matya. I had this shayla halacha l'maisa, and I raised it with an incredible organization called Chaim Aruchim. The Aguda has an organization called Chaim Aruchim that specializes in this. And the reason why I did this is because a friend of mine happens to be an employee of Chaim Aruchim, a guy I learned with in yeshiva, works for them. So I wanted to, hadn't spoken to him in a long time. We talked over this shayla. So the question was, somebody who has a non-religious parent and they are supposed to take care of their parents' affairs, and the parent was alive, and the child wanted to know, could I be involved in my parents' care after death and the state and whatever else is involved, if they very much want to donate, of all things, their cornea. Why? Because there's something with blindness in the family, a friend, whatever it was. So that was the shayla. Rav Untuman says, basically, yes, it's mutter. We're not going through it because we only do one shuva in this chabura, but the Tzitz Eliezer, which is the last source on the sheets that I handed out this evening here in the room, the Tzitz Eliezer says, no dice. This whole thing, everything that we said tonight doesn't pass muster for the Tzitz Eliezer. You're not allowed to donate a cornea. You're not allowed to transplant a cornea. It's us or whatever reasons, we're not going to the Tzitz Eliezer. So it's a big machlokas. So I just want to share with you the brilliant psak that, again, in his communication with whoever he spoke to, you know what he told me? He said, again, whoever's desk he brought this shayla to, since Rav Untuman is mekel, it's not worth it for this individual who has an irreligious parent to say, I don't want to be in charge of the affairs of their parents because there are much bigger shaylas that relate to very serious issues. Here there's a tzad l'hakel. Maybe we don't make, maybe halacha l'maaseh we're not makel like this Rav Untuman. Maybe we're machmir like the Tzitz Eliezer and l'chatchila a person should not donate a cornea. However, since in this specific shayla that I presented to you, that was presented to me, if they say, I don't want to be involved, let my not-religious brother take care of your affairs, much worse outcomes, halachic outcomes and halachic consequences. For example, decisions about pulling plugs, decisions about not extending life when life should be extended, those are much more serious shaylas So it's better that this person, this religious sibling or child, agree to the parents' wishes and be lenient, like Rav Unterman, rather than give up the opportunity to take care of their parents' directives at the expense of possibly losing on a bigger fight. I just thought that that answer was a brilliant, brilliant answer that really hit the issues on the head. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Bez Hashem, we should all be zocha to health, to simcha, gesund, and these should all be moot points as we greet Mashiach and zocha to see it, not just through transplants.